Well, it sure is, and we're still waiting for Julian Assange to be making a statement via video into Berlin. He's held up in the Ecuadorian embassy in London, and the live stream has not started yet. You can get to it at coasttocoastam.com and click that link. But so far, nothing. So far, nothing. In a moment, Vernon Mahabal joins us. We'll be talking about the secret code on your hands and some other things that he has worked with us about next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, the founder and director of the Palmistry Institute of Los Angeles, Vernon Mahabal, combines astrology and palmistry and makes predictions about trends for the United States, for us, based on repeated patterns that he sees in thousands of palms that he reads. He continues new research, dynamic research. He has been consulted by the New York Police Department as well, and his institute serves to restore the art of palmistry and its previous dignity and respect. Vernon, always good to have you on the show.
Thank you, George. Thanks for having me back.
This is an interesting night tonight. We are waiting for Julian Assange from WikiLeaks to make some kind of video statement about something, and so far he's nowhere to be seen.
No, I like him. I like him. He's definitely, you know, the interesting thing is planetarily wise, the entire planet is under, let's say, the domain of Mars, the planet of Mars. So one of the aspects of Mars is to reveal things, to bring things out in the open. In the Vedic view, the Eastern view, it's basically the same thing. It's we are in a Rahu time, and it's also a planet of bringing out things that have been secret for a while. So we're seeing this everywhere. We're seeing this on social media. We're seeing
talk radio.
We are seeing secrets that have been exposed for all, maybe 50, 60, 70 years. It's everywhere now. So this is expected, actually.
But Vernon, let's talk about palmistry. How did you get into it, and what is it exactly?
One thing I wanted to tell you, George, the very first time I got on Coast to Coast was in 2008, and pretty much you've had me back almost once a year, if not more. And one time, and in 2008, you said at the end of the show, you are now the palmistry consultant for Coast
That's
to Coast.
That's right.
And I just always wanted to thank you. When you said that to me, I knew, oh my God, I've made it.
You've made it. And we've lived up to that bargain, right?
You absolutely have. So I just want to thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
Palmistry is an astrological science. The entire planetary grid is on the palm of your hands. And anything that an astrologer can see, a palmist can see, if they know what they're doing. And the hand really reveals what our life purpose is, what we came to do in this world, what we're here to accomplish, and also what our challenges are from previous lifetimes, what our struggles will be in this lifetime, and what we're here to accomplish and make into our masterpiece. So, you know, George, they say that life doesn't come with instructions. Well, to a palmist, it does.
It does. It does. How did you learn how to read palms?
When I was in high school, my last year in high school, no, it was in the 11th grade, I was just looking at the library in my school, and I saw a book that said On Reading Hands, and that was my first introduction. So I started reading the book, and I was carrying it around with me, made copies of it, and I just was fascinated by it. And then when I lived in New York, I used to see a guy named Patrick read hands on the street. And it took me a while to kind of go up to him and ask, what are you doing?
Yeah.
He used to read hands on a little table. And I was fascinated by what he did. He was telling people information that no career consultant could give. He was telling people about their psychology, what kind of career they should get into. And I was fascinated, and I looked at him one day, and I just said, you know, I want to know what you do. Please teach me. And he became my teacher for 5 or 6 years. And then I went to India, and I learned the Eastern system, the Vedic system, if you will. And I've combined both the Eastern and the Western system. And palmistry is a fascinating study, George. It really helps us to understand what this life is about, which is self-realization. That it tells us about our career, it tells us about our relationships, it tells us the location that we should live in. It talks about the struggles and difficulties we have to go through based on what we did and what we've deserved from previous lifetimes. But more importantly, it tells why we're here spiritually. What is the goal of our life, and how to get free ultimately from this the pangs of this material world? How to become free from lust and greed and envy and avarice? That's the highest. The human form of life is very rarely achieved. According to the Vedic view, there's 8,400,000 species of life, and that includes 900 types of aquatics, that includes 1,100,000 types of reptiles, and there's 400,000 different types of human beings. Not all of them are exhibited on this planet.
That's right.
But we may think, okay, well, there's 6 billion people on this planet Earth. That's a lot. But we may look at our yard in the front of our house, there's more living entities in our yard than human beings on the planet. So my point to you, George, is that the human form of life is rare, and it's the only form of life on this planet that we can achieve God realization, self-realization, and become free from our material entanglements and attain the joy that really is what the soul is about. According to the Vedic view, the soul is within the very innermost core of our heart. It can't be seen by anything material, not our eyes, not an electron microscope. And it's riding on 5 what we call in Vedic view life airs. And the soul expresses its message through the agency of the hands. And then so on our hands, our lines, our fingerprints, the shapes of our fingers, the shapes of our hands, the thumbs, they express what we're born to do and how to actually attain our true spiritual form. And that spiritual form is what's called in the Vedic view Satchit Ananda. That's a Vedic term. Satchit Ananda means the intrinsic nature of our soul is Satchit Ananda. It's blissful, it's joyful, we're also eternal, and we are cognizant. We have full awareness. But while we're in this material world, we forget that. We identify with our body, we identify with this material world. We think that a lot of what goes on in this world is actually eternal, but it's not. And death is simply a change of body. The soul, as we're eternal, if you got into a car, you don't become the car. And if the car stops working, you just buy another car. So we're the driver of the car. We're not the car. The car is like the body. And it's very obvious to a palmist. Once you start doing this for many, many years, you start seeing, oh, my God, life is a continuum.
Right, right. Now, are the hands, the left hand and the right hand palms, are they the same? Are they identical?
That's a great question, George. The right hand is our outer self. It talks about what's on the left brain, and the left brain is the more practical, analytical brain. And the left hand deals with what's in the right brain. So the left hand is the inner self. So that's the same for left-handers also. But that's the most general way to understand it. The right hand is the outer self, and I look to the right hand for aspects dealing with a person's career, where they should live, how they deal with other people, how the world deals with them, how they navigate in the material world. And I look to the left hand, the inner self, to see what a person's like internally, their inner psychology, their emotions at their most deepest level, their last lives, what their challenges were from previous lives. So you look at the two hands and you see they're both brains operating together.
I love
basically.
It. So we're going to talk about palmistry, but we're going to also look at the presidential candidates as well. Now, how have you done a palmistry reading of them? I mean, how have you looked at their hands?
Well, the interesting thing is neither one, Hillary or Trump, has been my personal client. But the good thing about today's internet is that you can pretty much look at anybody's hand you want.
Ah, okay.
And the best way to do that is just when people are waving. You know, they're
all right, and then you blow up the picture.
Exactly. And whether a lot of times my friends will see me reading the National Enquirer, the Globe, and they'll go, I didn't know you were into gossip. And I said, no, I'm just looking at people's hands. you can, exactly what you're saying. If you have a great shot of a hand, you just blow it up and you can see everything about that person.
So are you going to make a pick on this program based on their palms?
Absolutely.
All right. Are you ready for that?
Can I tell you a little bit about both of them?
Sure. Absolutely. Let's build up the suspense.
Okay. Let me tell your audience something. This is really, and you, this is really interesting. The thumb is actually the real revealer of one's consciousness. And though someone not familiar with palmistry might not really understand, what it means to look at a thumb, the thumb is, philosopher once said, just the fact that we have a thumb proves to me that there's a God. The way the thumb moves, how it's held, its carriage, everything is just amazing about the thumb. Well, the thumb is not ruled. It's the only part of the hand that's not ruled by a planet or a constellation or a star or a zodiac. And it represents our human will. It represents our drive, our determination, and it represents our consciousness. So if you want to look at a person who's, let's say, moral, having lots of high standards, mm-hmm. high idealism, if the thumb looks good, if the thumb looks beautiful, actually.
Well, what's a bad-looking thumb?
It looks twisted. It looks gnarled. It looks, I'm from California, so like gnarly.
So not just the fingerprint, but you're looking at the thumb itself.
I'm looking at the entire shape of the thumb. Let's say a career criminal, let's just say someone who's not just in prison for selling drugs, but I'm talking about someone who's an intrinsic criminal.
Sure.
You'll see the thumb looks really, really misshapen. You'll see the thumb looks, it kind of looks off-putting. It may even look ugly. But if you look at the person of, let's say, a saintly personality, a man or woman who's free from material desires, and they have, or just an ordinary person who has high standards and high vision, and who's an idealist, the thumb will look very beautiful. It'll have a nice round shape to it. It'll look very expressive. So the first thing you want to look at is when you're looking at political people's hands, look at their thumb. turn off the talk show. Turn off the talk show and just watch their thumbs. Look at their thumbs. And if you see people who have a very misshapen thumb, and it doesn't look
run.
Very. or don't vote for them.
All right. Well, we're going to find out who has the misshapen thumb, I guess.
Well, you know, the thing is that, I have looked at Hillary's hand at length, and I'll be very honest with you.
You always are, Vernon.
What I do is it's a New York expression. I can't ever get rid of that. What I do is a very metaphysical thing, and what I do is something that goes very much into the heart of a person. And if people could read hands, they would be aghast at what they saw in Hillary's hand. There's no emotion there. There's no empathy there. There's no sensitivity there. There's no receptivity there. It's ambition, 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 without any consciousness.
You can see that on the palm?
I've seen that for years. I've seen that for years.
Way before this campaign.
Absolutely. It all started when I started looking at Bill Clinton's hand.
What does his hand look like? Don't forget, you're on live radio here.
Much of the same thing. I don't mind talking about it. Much of the same thing. These are not straightforward people.
But that doesn't mean they're going to lose the election.
Well,
right? Because how would the public know this?
How would the public know that let's say Hillary?
Well, what you've seen with the palms, you know this.
Yes.
But the public doesn't. That's my point.
No, absolutely, absolutely, George. But I'll also, you know, when I look at Trump's hand, for instance, I see he's ruled by a planet named Uranus, and Uranus is sometimes by astrologers called the Awakener.
Uh huh.
And Uranus is also the planet of let's say the revolutionary or the crusader, and this is so much of how he runs his own business. His hand shows excellent communication skills. And actually, interestingly enough, I was surprised at this, George. His hand shows better one-on-one communications. He feels more comfortable at one-on-one communications than he does just like groups, although he can handle groups. He can handle groups. So when he feels comfortable and when people are around him dealing with him personally, they feel more, let's say, enthusiastic or fired up by him. But one of the things is that the planet Uranus is this planet it's the awakener because it is the counter-revolutionary. In other words, the more they criticize Trump, the more he becomes even more in the public eye. The mainstream media doesn't understand this. They keep criticizing him, and he becomes more popular. The interesting thing is that he's becoming more and more popular, also because astrologically he's 70 years old.
70, yeah.
Yeah. So when he was 68. He went into the sun planet, which is a very powerful sun transit. It's called in Western astrology the progressed sun.
Hold on for a second, Vernon. We're going to hit this break, but we're going to come right back and get you to make your prediction, though I think I know what your prediction's going to be, but we'll find out what it is. And we're still waiting for Julian Assange to, via video in Berlin, to say something about WikiLeaks and what this revelation is supposed to be. So we'll have that for you, too, when we come back in just a moment right here on Coast to Coast AM. Don't touch your dial, not tonight. And welcome back to Coast with our special guest, Vernon Mahabal, as we talk about the secret code on your hands, palms. So I'm going to have you make your prediction based on what you've seen of the palms of their hands, Vernon.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so Donald Trump, when he was 37, his progressed son went into Leo. Now, that 30-year period was excellent for what he did. It really started his career of building, and then later on his media career, television show. Now, here's the interesting thing, George. His progressed son went to Libra when he was 68, 69. This is a really powerful time. Looking at everything around the other aspects of his planets, the signs, the houses, he is actually in an enormously powerful time right now. He's, like I say, he's ruled by the planet of Uranus, which is the revolutionary, which is the awakener. He will be going into a Jupiter period, and it is the most powerful time. Jupiter is one of the most beneficial and auspicious planets there is. Jupiter is a planet of growth and expansion and optimism. And he goes into that 1 week after the election, George. And I'm going to say to you that he is in such a powerful astrological time that he's going to win. It's very possible, and I'm not getting this from palmistry, but I'm saying that, you know, the New World Order could try to throw the election. They could try to make Hillary the president. That's my, and I'm saying to you that Donald Trump is not just going to go away. Even if they try to throw the election, he will eventually, let's just say they do something, the New World Order does something crazy, the globalists do something crazy, and they elect Hillary. Something's going to happen where, because he's the revolutionary, the awoken middle class will rebel, and he will become the president.
You think he could come back in 4 years?
No, within weeks. Within weeks.
You're kidding. So you're talking kidding. About civil unrest and,
yes,
and everything else.
It could happen because he's a, you know, the liberals for the last 50 years have been out in the streets en masse for years. But what Trump has managed to do, and it's also because of the economy, the middle class is suffering, he's awoken the conservatives. He's awoken them. So they're not going to go away. Because they're suffering materially. Our material, it used to be that the liberals could get away with what they wanted, or let's just say the globalists. I don't want to just say the liberals, but the globalists could get away with.
Well, I'm going to put you down as saying that you're predicting Trump is going to win.
It's not only will he win, but his star is going to continue to shine as the years go by.
All right, now I have John Hoag, who's our Nostradamus prophecy expert. He's predicted, and he's been right in the last 12 elections, four years, he's been right on picking the last, four different presidential wins, but he's picked Hillary. So one of you will be right.
Yeah, well, the thing is that I respect him and I like him, but he doesn't see what a palmist can see. And I'm not saying that they're not going to try to give the election to Hillary, because that's what the globalists want to do. But what I see on the hands is that Hillary's star is like a shooting star right now. She's like a goblin. She was a very powerful woman, and she still is. But her karma's up. It's done. It's over. And Trump's is even more on the ascendant.
Yet she's winning in the polls.
Well, that's what the media tells you, or tells us. But I don't believe it. I don't believe it, because I'm saying to you that according to what I see on Trump's hand, the planets couldn't be in better positions for what he is trying to do.
Well, have you contacted his campaign to tell them about this?
No.
You should. You should tell them you're a palm reader and this is what it says. I'm sure they'd love to hear the information.
I told Michael Savage that, and he told me he'd get in touch with them. I don't know what to do. But the thing is about Trump, what I do like about him is that, as I was saying before, I don't see any human compassion in Hillary. It has nothing to do with whether I'm a conservative, libertarian.
All right, and I want you to preface that by saying
I'm very pro-American. I'm very much a patriot, and I listen to everything. And I'm kind of in the middle.
Well,
let me
ask you something, Vernon. Did you see the hands of Bernie Sanders?
Yes.
What did they look like?
I don't, you know, the idea here is that, George, that it's very possible that they cheated him out of the election, but it's also not his karma to become the president.
Okay.
Or get anywhere near there.
Or how about the hands of anybody else?
Not that I've seen. Not that I've seen.
Okay.
One thing on a very subconscious level that I see in Trump's hand, and this is why he's resonating with people, it's not just the aspect of the economy, which is also extremely important, but on a very subconscious level, George, he's awakening people's sense of wanting independence and freedom. In other words, this is what he's doing on a subconscious level to people. He represents that very independent, devil-may-care, innovative person. One of the strongest things on his hands that I see is communication skills and innovation skills. So he's an innovator, he's inventive, and he's got tremendous communication skills. But on a subconscious level, the reason he's resonating with Americans is, of course, also, obviously, on a very conscious level, the economy. But on an unconscious level, what I see is that he's resonating with the American citizens because he represents freedom. He represents that spirit of independence and working hard. And people
we shall see. Let's talk about some other things, Vernon. People want to hear what the future holds for a lot of people.
Okay.
How do you see the next 20 years in this country?
Okay, now, just because I'm predicting that Trump is going to win doesn't mean that it's going to go smoothly. This is my worry, George. This is my worry. What I'm seeing in American fans is this. I don't see that we are going to get our manufacturing base back. What I'm seeing is that the generations that have been born, or let's say 20s, 30s, or even younger, their karma is not to be into manufacturing in the same way that it was, let's say, my dad's generation,
right,
or like that. It's just not their interest. Their interest would be, let's say, computers or technology. But the idea of bringing back making America great as in manufacturing, that's not going to happen. And my worry here is that I see America becoming a little bit more like Brazil. In other words, it doesn't become a third world country, but there's technology there, but it's not so materially together. And that's what I see for the next 10 to 15 years. We go on this downturn trajectory where we become less and less materially efficient. We lose that material efficiency. We become less industrious. I'm not saying that we're going to become like a third world, but I'm saying we're going to become a little bit like Brazil, the best parts of Brazil, which is a clean country, but nonetheless, there's aspects of being an efficient, let's say, third-class country. Do you follow?
Yeah, I sure do.
That's what I see. In other words, it's going to be more slow-paced. America, it's not going to have that the generations that are coming up, anyone from, let's say, 12 to, let's say, 24 years old, these generations that are coming up are not really going to be the ambitious type. They don't have, like, the drive and determination like previous generations, or even, like, let's say, the generations of the 1980s. They're a lot more in touch with their emotions and their feelings. They're the boys and the girls, you know, the men and the women. They're a lot more in touch, let's say, than the kids growing up in the 70s and the 80s. They're a lot more in touch with their emotions, and they're a lot more sensitive. They're a lot more receptive, but I don't see a lot of ambition there, as much as, you know, you would see in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s, like that. The good news is that they'll be more gentle. The bad news is that they'll be a little bit more laissez-faire. So what I see is that the next 10 to 20 years, George, we may become a little bit more as a nation, a little bit more agrarian, a lot more farm-based, a lot more, let's say, provincial, if you will, and America won't be such a, let's say, a driving economic force, but more of a, let's say, agrarian type of force. Now, the other thing that I see here is that where we will go in the future, the good news is that America will be a lot more, I'm going to just use the word loosely, spiritually based. And I'm going way ahead. In 15 years-ish, in 2030, we also go through a Jupiter period as Americans. And we're seeing the rise, let's say, of alternative therapies. That's what's going to be big. Naturopathic medicine, yoga, people who are doing spiritual practices. That's going to take
off.
You
seem hopeful for the future.
I'm hopeful in a lot of ways, George, in a lot of ways. I'm a little worried in the next couple of years, though. I'm a little worried.
A little bouncy?
Yes. There is going to be, yes, absolutely. But here's the interesting thing, George. It's kind of like in an hourglass. The planets are going, the planets are in their worst positions right now, in the sky, right now. But they're also starting to go into more beneficial and auspicious positions, like an hourglass. But we're still in that middle point where they are just horrible right now.
If you read the hands of babies, yeah, would you be able to predict their future?
Everything is on our hands when we are in our mom's womb at 7 months. The fingerprints, the lines, everything is there. The only problem, George, of reading little babies' hands is that it's hard to get them to keep their hands open. So you have to look at them when they're asleep. But to answer your question, yes, the entire life destiny is on our hands. Our entire life purpose, our destiny, our challenges, everything is on that hand.
Do you ever read the prints of the feet, the bottom of the feet?
No, feet deal mostly with health.
Okay.
Yeah. On the hand is everything. Emotion, psychology, life purpose, career.
Future, everything.
Yes, exactly. I don't need to look at the feet.
Have you ever looked at a palm and just saw pure horror?
Horror is in like death and disease?
Evil, whatever.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
That frightened you?
I used to, sometimes, when I lived in New York, I actually used to look at, I used to go to morgues and look at what was there. I regularly look at people who are homeless. I look at every area of hands for my research. I look at people who are, you know, the elitist globalists all the way to, you know, the homeless person in L.A. It's my passion to look at people's hands, and you can learn so much by looking at different people's hands and different walks of life. And you know, the interesting thing is, the amazing thing, George, sometimes you look at people who are homeless, and you look at their last life, and they were rich. And sometimes you look at people in Beverly Hills and you have to warn them, you better become philanthropic. You better give a little bit more of your time and energy and money, because in your next life, you're going to have to taste all this bad stuff you're doing. So it's a yin yang. It's a yin yang. I want to mention something about Donald Trump real quick here. He was extremely philanthropic in a previous life. And therefore, that's why he could just snap his fingers and things happen. So I'm just using him as an example. The hands show that if we were philanthropic, or we were humanitarian, or we were open with our time and our energy, in the next life or lives, it comes back to us.
I was going to copy my hand and mail it to you.
Please do.
Or fax it to you.
Yeah, please do.
I mean, what do you look at?
You look at the shape of the hand. There's four basic types of hands: earth, water, fire, and air. And that's kind of like our, you know, the planet that we live in, our terra firma. If a person has an earth hand, which is a squarish looking hand, they're very practical. If someone has a long hand, a water hand, they tend to be more emotional. If someone has very long fingers, they tend to be very fiery, that type of thing. You look at the thumb. The thumb is the indicator of human consciousness. It talks about our drive, our determination. It talks about, I look at the thumb to see if a person's actually getting what they want in the world. Here's an interesting
thing. You're a big believer in the thumb.
Yeah, I love the thumb. if you see people who are happy and they're doing what they want, like an Anthony Robbins type person, and you'll see the thumb extended out.
What if somebody has lost their thumb?
It means that they feel that it's a victim. It's the victim. In other words, I have no drive. It's a person who feels I'm the victim of circumstances. I'm trapped. They're trapped by their own feelings of victimization. Anything like that means that when you have a thumb that's very expressive and extensive, it means that someone has a lot of confidence and drive and determination. And if you look at someone, for instance, who's on drugs or is homeless or kind of that slacker victim mentality, the thumb will pull into the palm. The thumb, like a dog, if they're happy, they have their tail up. Well, if we're doing our life purpose and we're happy and we're doing what we should be doing, our thumb will be extended. It will be very expressive. If a person is, let's say, homeless or they just feel the world's against them, the thumb pulls way into the palm. It doesn't look happy.
Huh.
Yeah. So the thumb is our consciousness. It is not ruled by a planet.
Is every palm different from somebody? You don't have identical palms, do you?
No.
With billions of people on this planet, everyone's different, like a snowflake, they say.
You know, there's a verse in Sanskrit that's called Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. It means that we're simultaneously one as part and parcel of God. In other words, we're all of that same spiritual substance, but we're different in our individuality. And this is what amazes me about hands. In other words, and this is what I as a palmist tried to do, bring out our individuality. The most important thing I can do for someone is help them to understand who they are, create their own niche, understand their personal identity. That's liberating. I think that this is what the Vedic literatures say, that God never takes away, he never takes away our independence.
All right, hold on, Vernon. We're at the top of the hour. We're going to come back and take your phone calls with people, questions about palmistry, of course, and we continue to monitor what may be going on with Julian Assange. He may be coming out via video soon. We'll keep monitoring that.